During the Last Supper, Jesus had some very life-changing conversations with the Apostle Simon Peter. And Simon Peter was going to be a leader among his peers and a big impact on Christians. What he did impacts us today. And Jesus pretty much says to Simon Peter, Simon Peter, your faith is weak. It was in and around the Last Supper that Jesus told him, you're going to deny me three times, and you're going to run away. And Peter, the devil himself wants to shake you up. He said, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. But he said this, Peter, I've prayed for you, and what I want you to do when you come back to following me, I want you to strengthen your brothers. Okay, now that was a pretty bad timing from a human point of view, asking Peter to do something with a high level of responsibility when Jesus said, Peter, look, your faith is just not where it's at, where it should be. And Peter, you might say his walk with God reflected a little bit with the passage in Isaiah said in chapter 35. His knees were not steady. His hands were feeble. He would be blind as to what was happening. He would be like surrounded by jackals. He would feel afraid and under the threat of many things going on. But God would use Peter to strengthen others in spite of Peter's own limitations. And even in sharing the table, Peter heard that message. And so for you and I today and also next week, just looking at that phrase that Jesus told Peter, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. And it was almost like, Peter, it doesn't matter how strong or weak your faith is at this time. I still want to use you in the long run to bring help to other people who needed help. So that's what the Lord is doing for Peter here. And he's doing it to Peter's own soul and then through Peter to other people. So the theme for this week and next week is pretty much God uses broken, fallen down people to help broken, fallen down people. So if you're in one of those categories, broken or fallen down, God is sending help on the way, and God is going to use you to help other people. So try to catch that in the passages that you'll see this morning. A part of the truth of that is that you and I were created not to do life on our own. As one Christian writer said, without connection to others and without connection to God, we stink at life. Okay, that's how it's going to be. And that's what Peter certainly exhibited during the time when Jesus was betrayed, and so did the other disciples. Jesus would put it this way, in terms of trying to live life alone. He would say, no branch can bear fruit by itself. Okay, now he said that in relation to our relationship with him. No branch can bear fruit by itself. But he also says it in relationship to how you're doing with the guy and the gal next to you. Okay, it would be a good thing to tattoo on your arm. I cannot bear fruit by myself. You know, for the hyper-individualism that sometimes we have as Christians, God wants us to know. No, you were not created to be that way. You're not like a leopard. I guess a leopard is a solitary animal. You are more like a pack of lions. You need a pack to run with. And so that's how the Lord created you and I as human beings and particularly as Christians. You cannot bear fruit on your own. Apart from me, you can't do nothing. So branches don't bear fruit by itself. That's something that Peter had to learn. And God wants us to know if we're going to have effective ministry and help toward other people. This past week, us pastors got to hear a speaker that talked about Christian helping Christian. And I'll show you some things on the board that he helped us with. And I would like all of us to get helped with as his people. This fellow teaches at University of Pittsburgh in terms of counseling. So he helps broken people so they can help other broken people. He said the church is Christ's body for growth, healing, and healthy relationships. And you think that's really a part of our worship and our discipleship and our evangelism. People get right with God and have peace with him, and then they start to live in healthy relationships with others and even how they feel about themselves. So see yourself and a part of your identity and calling is strengthen somebody else. Hopefully that was a motivation for you coming to church today. I come to worship God, but there's somebody there who I'm going to add life and health to. Remember the quality of the Navy SEAL that was mentioned about a month ago. The best quality of a Navy SEAL who really made the cut to be a Navy SEAL wasn't who was the fastest, who was the best shot, who was the best swimmer. It was the people who looked out for the other guy that made it on the Navy SEAL team. So as a Christian, part of your calling, how can I strengthen my brothers? How can I help the other guy? Part of our core responsibilities from Isaiah, anything that needs strengthened, we want to strengthen, help steady that which is not steady, and God will work in that setting. God will come and save us. That's good news. Jesus said, strengthen your brothers to Peter. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. If you're going to get stronger, someone will come and help you do that. Okay, and in serving, also, you can help others be stronger also. Interesting, some high responsibility verses we looked at on Wednesday night. God tells the prophet Ezekiel, and we all have the role of a prophet a little bit, I've made you a watchman to warn others of danger. So you as a broken, fallen person, you can actually help others see where the danger is. And God wants you to do that. You do that out of love. If you've ever worked with children, you do that. You know, don't run on the sidewalk, jump around, you're going to get skinned knees. You go with steadiness and all those other things you give direction by. Spur one another on to love and good works. That's why we meet together, as God would direct us. So that's part of our responsibilities. How do we live out those responsibilities? This was given as qualities we ask God to put in our soul because the Lord's like this, and so we want to be like this on behalf of others, even in days we're not at our best, like Peter was. I found, by the way, when I am not at my best following Christ, sometimes I am fairly helpful to others in pointing them to the Lord. Because I see the need in my life, and so I'm more compassionate, merciful, and concerned about the others. If I think I am on the Mount of Transfiguration, and I think I'm flying high, I often think, why would I want to help others? Let them help themselves. Climb up here where I am. That's not the way to be. So sometimes when you fall down and are broken, you're going to be more effective following Christ than when you're on the mountaintop. Something to consider. The quality of empathy. You as a person who wants to strengthen your brothers, ask for that quality. Empathy is, I'm going to see life the way they see life. I'm not going to try to correct them right now. I'm just going to say, how would it be to look at life the way they look at life? To see life like it is. You know, maybe they feel abandoned. Or overwhelmed with anger or worry. Just how does that person feel? That's what I'm concerned about. That's what Jesus was concerned about when he emptied himself and took on our likeness in the form of a servant. He even said, I'll go and die to rescue everybody who's going to die. Rise from the dead. Empathize. Walk in their shoes. It's extremely important that we do that. We tell a person, when we go strengthen them, hey, I realize whatever you're dealing with in terms of a weakness, I've probably known a little bit about what that weakness is. Because there's no temptation that hit anybody that's not common to everybody. That's a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 10. No problem that's hit anybody that's not common to everybody. So when I go strengthen my brothers, I can have that attitude. There's something that I can relate to in here. And so the second quality we want to pass on to others is respect. Okay, so Peter is going to go. He's going to empathize with the other guys and gals. And then he's going to have respect for them. And you are to have respect for the people you are seeking to strengthen. I was listening to a boxer be interviewed on television. I'm not a big boxing fan, but he happened to be on the station I was listening to, and the interview asked him, he happened to be Manny Pacquiao, he's like one of the best in the world at hitting other people, so that's claim to fame. So the interviewer asked him, do you respect Floyd Mayweather? That's his big rival, and Floyd Mayweather is really like he trash talks, and he's real pizzazzy and flamboyant, and you know, he's always saying how better he is than everybody. He says, do you respect Floyd Mayweather? And Manny Pacquiao said, yes. He said, I respect all people. That's the way I live. And there's something from the Lord in that, in his life. See, Shelley hit this last night. Don't fear or you won't help anybody. But rather, respect everyone and only fear God. Don't wait till that person earns your respect. Don't say, when you get to act your act together, I'll respect you. That's a horrible way to live. You respect them because they're created in God's image. Their soul is worth more than the whole world, according to Jesus. And so you say, wow. You know, here's another human being. If you were given a responsibility to take care of the biggest diamond in the world, you would say, I'm going to be careful with that. I'm going to treat it with the way it needs to be treated, and I don't want to mess it up. Well, when you help another person, they're much more important than that rock. Okay? It's just a rock. We're talking about a soul here that Jesus has died for. You give them positive regard in that way. And then a genuineness. Isn't that how Jesus ministered to people when he came? He opened his heart toward others and reached out to whoever it was in whatever condition they were in. The immoral, he reached out to. The highly religious, he reached out to. The corrupt, he reached out to. Matthew and Zacchaeus, you know, two tax collectors in his disciples. You, as you go to strengthen your brothers, be the real you and with Christ in you. That's how the good news will be shared. And a principle of sharing, which again was passed on to us, was what's very personal to you is probably universal to people that you were trying to give strength to. Okay, what's very personal to you, there's Peter. You know, I fell down. I didn't have the faith. I ran away. What's personal to you is probably very universal to the people you're trying to strengthen. But God caused you to strengthen your brothers. So take that on as a high calling. In closing, just two examples. One's a little embarrassing. I shared Wednesday night. About a month ago, I got a phone call in and around supper time. And I was hungry and wanted to run, but the phone was there. So it was a person I never met, and just talking. They didn't go to church here. They wanted to talk about a problem. It was a 45-minute problem. And while I was listening to the person, unfortunately, my heart was not in it. I don't know if you've ever been there. My one foot was out the door, and the other foot was at the dinner table. And so I'm thinking, Could you just pause for a minute so I could close in prayer, you know, over the phone? It was a bad way to be, but that's where I was. And I actually had these notes in front of me that I was going to do the Bible study with. And I start looking at those notes and say, empathize, come on. What is this person feeling? You know, show some respect to this person. You're talking to him on the phone. And why don't you be genuine and let Christ help him in some manner? I had to talk myself into it. And with God's grace, that things got done. You know, there was some significant conversation happened and decision that was made. So the reason I tell you that is because even when you don't feel steady, you go and let God strengthen others from just your availability. And in closing, I wanted to say that in that passage from Isaiah, it is called When Jesus Reigns in the Hearts of People. Unsteady knees get strengthened. Weak hands get gets stronger, and it becomes the phrase as a highway of holiness. Isn't that something? When people start to see and people start to hear the way they're supposed to hear. That'll happen big time when Jesus returns. But it happens on the way, you know, as until He does come back. And used to be, holiness was associated with that which what you didn't do. Okay? If you don't do this thing, you know, and if you don't do that thing, and if you don't do that thing and that thing, that is a high standard of holiness. Really, that's like, all 5-year-olders are holy then, based on some of those standards. But in the Bible, you know what holiness is? Holiness is really when you're walking with God and when you're being used by God to strengthen others. It's like a highway of holiness because there's good things from God happening in many places. So ask the Lord to use you and I like He did the Apostle Peter, and He will bring grace and truth to our own souls and to others. Let's pray together.